me on.
And there you go.
Okay. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, everybody. How you guys doing tonight?
Yes.
Elohim Tov.
Kol Hazman.
All right. And welcome to all of our family all the way around the world. And especially those in Africa and China and Europe and with London. They're all over, Pastor Dan.
Amen.
It's your fault.
I think the Lord did this one.
You're going to say thank you. So what was you saying? It was all my fault?
Huh?
Oh, you said it's all your fault. And I said thank you.
Oh, nothing. Just harassing you.
Okay, here. Let me read this card real fast, okay? Because let me see what her name is. Her name is Abigail.
Oh.
I like her name. And she says, my name is Abigail. And I love watching you talk about the rapture. And I'm 11 years old.
Wow.
And if you remember me, I was the girl that asked you if there was bacon in heaven. And I have a Soldiers for Christ dog tag with my name on it.
Wow.
Thank you so much from Abby. Abigail, cloud party coming soon. And she put all those cartoons.
I love it.
She's 11 years old. I remember that is their bacon in heaven. I forgot how I answered that, but
yeah, better food, is that?
Much better.
Huh?
Yeah, there's better food.
Better than bacon.
Yeah, I don't think we want bacon. And this is from John and Linda Anderson, who blessed me so much. I thank them. And listen to this. It says, blessings to you and your family. May you continue to be blessed. You continue to bless our hearts with your sermon and teaching. We enjoy reading our Bible so much more now with a new understanding of the same words we've read hundreds of times.
Wow.
Now those words have meaning. This world is dead and most people don't know it yet. They are blind. I won't read the rest. I'll read it later, but I really want to thank you for this card and for blessing me in Jesus' name. And there's your koala bear. That's me giving Pastor Ben a ride. Hang on, Pastor Bear.
Oh, that's funny.
We'll get there soon. And this one's from Renee Winslow. And she's out. She's a Florida girl. So she's out there. She says, thanks for your continued teaching and good words. I know our time here is very short, because the Lord was like telling me today, you know what? I'll show them. It's like, you know, because some people were just like going crazy about this, and I'm like, the Lord's like, I'm going to show them. The best thing to do is to show them.
Yep.
So I'm like, okay, I'm with you, Lord. Okay, so thank you, Renee Winslow. I appreciate you. And she said, Pastor Ben, S4C family. And she says, she says she's lost when we're not on YouTube. So
Aww. We
are watching our mouths, making sure that, and you know, see this ring right here? Karen Bland sent me this ring, right? She did not know what's on it. You know what's on this ring? It says, Be Elohim Betochnu, which means in God we trust. And it says 1945, and it says liberty. So it's the year that the Jews got liberated from the Holocaust camps. And very Jewish ring. Lots of
wow.
So thank her for that. So I'm gonna wear it. It's my new favorite one. So praise the Lord. You guys have your notes with you today?
Yes.
Did we pray in?
Oh,
no.
She's like to wine.
I'm calling Emerson. I'm not. Emerson's going to come up and pray because he loves to do it. He's like, he can't wait. He's like, I'll be glad when Pastor Ben said Sandy calls me up to pray again.
Thank you, Vicky.
Yeah, I'm having you do a whole service soon. But just pray me in right now.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you for this time. Thank you for this day added to our lives, and we're gathered here to hear your words. May you go before us, give us your words through Pastor Sandy, and also pray for everyone to continuously grow in you. And we're so blessed to be taught that you're through the original text, and your words is coming alive. And so we're grateful and thankful. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Okay, let me set you guys up the way I was set up today, okay? Because this is, anyway, I'm downstairs, and I'm sitting in front of the computer, and I'm waiting for, like, you know, Lord to give me a message, and everything's distracting me. So now I'm sitting there, and I'm just looking at the computer, and I'm like, okay, Lord, what are we going to teach on tonight? And he says, you haven't prayed. I'm not talking to you till after you pray. So I, you know, tried to bow my head right where I was, and the Lord was like, you know where the tallit is. So I had to go back upstairs, get my tallit, get bow and pray, and then talk to the Lord. And then praying, the Lord says, I want you to go look up the word wheat and find out what the wheat harvest is all about, right? Because this is our season. And so we'll get to that in a little bit, but it was pretty interesting what the Lord gave me. And then he told me I need to go back over this and understand where we're at and how close we are, because there's a lot of lies going out, and people need to know exactly where we are. So, and that's what I'm here for. So, if you have your notes with you, you have your notes. And I hope all of you out there is it YouTube? Well, we're more than YouTube. Rumble land, Vimeo, Facebook land, Vimeo land, Instagram land. Well, all y'all. Okay. So, if you're out there, listen to what I have to say. I hope you have the notes with you. If not, I'm going to go through this slowly. Okay, so I'm going to read this. Thank you for praying for me, Emerson. I feel more energetic now. It says in Matthew chapter 3, verse 11 and 12, John says, I baptize with water for repentance, but after me comes one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear the threshing floor, bring his wheat into the barn and burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire. John was prophesying. So here John is letting us know that Jesus is there, and he has his winnowing fork in his hand. He's ready to harvest. In the harvest. And he said, he's going to clear out his threshing floor. He's going to gather his wheat into the barn. And and he's going to burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. And so when I'm praying, the Lord said, well, this is the year 5782. And the numerical value for those four numbers is what? 22, right? So the Lord says, now I want you to go up and look up the word wheat and harvest in Hebrew and look up the gematria. So I looked up the gematria for wheat, which is chata, and the gematria for wheat is, the het is 8, the tet is 9, and the hay is 5. So it's what? 22, right? Or am I wrong? Yep, it's 22. Who's a math genius? I need somebody to confirm it's 22. Okay. So the Lord was just showing me, like, this whole year, this Psalms 122, this 222, this 5782 equaling 22, all of these things are telling you, because the book of Revelation having 22 chapters, he's like, everything is written to show you what year you're in, what time it is, where, why this year is so important. And so my thing was, what was the chances that wheat would have the numerical value of 22? I mean, considering there's, you know, 3,000 or 4,000 words in the Hebrew dictionary, that wheat would equal out to 22. So the Lord wanted me to know that, because he's like, I'm going to keep showing you until you leave, but it's important for you to know where you're at and where the people of God are, because even though they're looking and they're excited, they really think it's just going to be another year.
Right.
And the Lord's like, I'm trying to show them it's not just another year. It is this year in 5782 that I put in the scriptures that this is the latter end. And if only they knew this was the latter end. God put that in the scripture for this particular year, which the four numbers equal out to 22. He's the one said it's going to happen during the wheat harvest, so I'm going to make sure that the spelling of wheat is 22. Okay? So the Lord is like, I'm just going to keep showing you and showing you until everyone, but people don't have as much time as they think, because there's a lot of lies going out on YouTube teaching people that we're waiting for 50 more days for the second Pentecost or whatever. So I mean, one guy, I just had to like, okay, I'm done talking with you. Because I'm like trying to show him, like, see, you know how you're going to get. See, it's a one plus another one, and that makes two, see? And no, well, I've been watching you, the other, you can fly anytime rapture show, and they say one plus one is three, and I'm believing that three is going to be, and you can't even explain anything simple. So I just went, okay, I'm done.
Wow.
Because I can't fight against 122 different voices, and you don't know which one to read to believe, because you're not even studying your own Bible, so you don't know which one to believe. But I guarantee you 100%, you don't get to Pentecost and then you get to count 50 more days. It's impossible. It has never happened since the beginning of mankind. But if you guys want to do it now, go ahead. So then the Lord said, now look up harvest. Okay. So the word harvest, kasar or kasir, is has a numerical value of 400. Okay. I'm on the front page. I'm right here on the front page. So he says the word harvest is 400. Okay. Now, he said, now put them both together. And I said 422. He says, now look up 422. And 422 means salvation. And a matter of fact, it is your salvation that 422 was, right? So I'm like, okay, everything's telling me that 22, this wheat harvest, is 422, and that this is coming to our salvation. Okay, so the 22nd letter of the Hebrew alphabet, what is the numerical value of the 22nd letter of the Hebrew alphabet? 400 is the 22nd letter of the Hebrew alphabet. It's Tav. Tav has a value of 400. So the word for the harvest equals the same as the last letter of the Hebrew alphabet, which is the book of Revelation chapter 20 with 22 chapters. So God is trying to show me I'm putting all of this together, because Everything has to be perfect, okay? So the Lord wanted me to see that even the word wheat is 22. So tell them, get ready.
Yes.
And tell them it's more important than any other year. We can go through the wheat harvest every year, but what's more important about it this year? Why am I so much more excited about the wheat harvest this year? 5782. And it started in what? 2021. Okay? So let's look at this scripture in Matthew chapter 24, verse 32. And this is where God, Jesus Christ, gives us a solid foundation. He says, learn the parable from the fig tree. When its branches are already become tender and it puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. As of the 21st, it is now summer, right? Why, when Jesus is asked about the end times, does he refer to the fig tree, which is Israel? And then he says, know that summer is near. Why is the summertime so important? Summertime is the wheat harvest. Let's go to the next page. I put the calendar together, and these are the calendars. Okay, so you have in the month of Tishri, what they call the plowing begins. You have in the month of Heshvan, the plowing and graining and planting. Then in the month of Kislev, which is what we have November, December, you got grain planting. They start planting the grain. Then in the month of Tevet, the rains begin. That's what they call the former rains and the latter rains. I've taught on that. And then those rains are really softening up the ground for all the seeds that they've planted. So they're softening the ground for planting season. And then now you got in the month of Sabbat, and then you have the month of Adar, and now they get the spring rains, okay? And the almonds begin to bloom and the flax harvest. And then in Nisan, you have the barley harvest, okay? So we know that we have the barley harvest because the barley harvest is the first harvest of the year. And Jesus Christ had just resurrected from the grave. And after he resurrected, the barley harvest, the tombs broke open, and all of the barley harvest left and went into the heavenly kingdom. Okay? So the barley harvest is gone. So, but they still harvest the same way every year. So now after Nisan, the barley harvest was finished. Then here is the second month of Iyar, and the barley harvest is complete by April, May, or which is the month of Iyar, okay? Now you have the month of Sivan, and this is the dry season, but this is when the wheat harvest begins. When? In the month of Sivan. When is Sivan 6? Pentecost. So it has here to let you know you're right on point, because the wheat harvest begins in the month of Sivan, okay? That's the dry season. And then in the fourth month, remember Jesus says, do not say in the fourth month, right? Do not say 4 months in the harvest is, because he said that at Passover. But now you come to the fourth month and the wheat harvest is complete between June and July. You see that? Now, the when you get to that fifth month, you have what you call the summer heat. And then, at the end of the wheat harvest, you get the first ripe figs, okay? So you get the wheat harvest is complete, and then the first ripe figs begin to form, okay? So after that, you have the... the summer heat, and then the vintage of the grapes, of the grape harvest begins in the month of July, between July and August. And those are the early fruit. And then in a lull, you have the dates and the summer figs, and then you have basically the finishing of the fruit harvest in the month of September, okay? So you can look at this chart and you can see where the wheat harvest ends. Now, some people saying, oh, well, we have up until Rosh Hashanah. No, you don't. No one is harvesting wheat up to Rosh Hashanah, okay? I'm trying to tell you, we're in the wheat harvest, and we're in the 5782 year that is prophesied as saying what? This, if only they knew, this is the latter end. That is prophesying what? 22. That's prophesying what? 22, 22, 22, everything. You understand? So the Lord is like, I'm in prayer, and the Lord is like, you know how when you've been disappointed so many times, you're still excited, but you got your guard up? He's, that's how the Lord said. They're still excited, but they got their guard up. But he says, this is it. This is the year. This is the wheat harvest. People need to be excited, and people need to be also repenting, getting ready, witnessing, getting other people saved, talking to people. All of this needs to be going on because you're being told the very important thing, which is the year and the harvest season that you're in. So you don't need to know the date and the month and the week and the hour and the minute. You don't need to know all that. All you need to know is I'm on short time. I got to get busy. Amen. Okay. So let's continue studying this out so we can see that the Lord really meant that this summer is the wheat harvest. Okay. Now you see this word underneath that chart. It's called kayetz, and that means the end. And then you got the same, it's pronounced the same word kayetz, but it also means the end of time, and the other kayetz means summer fruit. So both words are pronounced the same way, but they mean the end times, and they mean summer fruit, and you'll see how that works out. Let's go to the next page. You see Amos chapter 8, verse 1 and 2? And it says, and he said to Amos, what do you see? And I said, a basket of summer fruit. Then the Lord said to me, the end has come, my people Israel, upon my people Israel. I will not pass them anymore. So let me explain to you what just happened. The Lord said to Amos, he says, what do you see? And Amos said, I see a basket of chayetz, summer fruit. And God plays off that word. He says, then the Lord said to me, chayetz has come upon my people. The end of time has come upon my people. When did they come? At the time he's showing him what? Summer fruit. Because the summer fruit is early fruit. Even we have pomegranates on the tree behind my house. And so the early fruits are appearing, but the summer is now. Now we still have some time where that summer fruit is still developing, but that wheat harvest has to be brought in. You understand? So this is where we're at in the scenario of Jesus saying, you know that summer is near, right? I mean, he could have said, you know that winter is near. He could have said, you know that spring is near. But he said, you know that summer is near. He says, the fig tree, here's your other hint, and summer is near, okay? So now we get to this whole thing. No, let's go to Micah. In the book of Micah, which is really just one of the most profound rapture chapters in the Bible. And it says, what misery is mine? I am like one who gathers summer fruit. I am like one who gathers what? Kayets, which also means end time and also means summer fruit. At the gleaning of the vineyard, there is no clusters of grapes to eat. None of the early figs that I crave. The godly have been swept from the land. When? Before the early fruits, in the summertime, here it is, and God is saying what? The godly have been swept away from the land. And the word swept away, of course, they use swept away, but the word is avad, which means vanish. The godly have vanished from the land. Not one upright person remains. All men lie in wait to shed blood. Each man hunts his brother with a net. Both hands are skilled in doing evil. The rulers demand a gift. The judge accept the bribe. The powerful dictate what they desire. They all conspire together. The best of them are like a briar, and the most upright worse than a thorn hedge. And it says, the day of your watchman has come, the day God visits you. Now is the time of their confusion. So does that sound like it's talking about the tribulation?
Yeah.
So he's talking about this is the summertime, and this is when this event is going to happen, okay? So Jesus is telling you, know that summer is near, okay? And then God pulls Amos aside and says, what do you see? I see summer fruit. Good, because the end has now come upon my people. Okay, so now God is like, he's pouring it on, like this is all about the summer. This is all about the summer, and you're in the wheat season, and you're in the year, and now you need to get busy. Okay, so then we get here to the book of Ruth. And Ruth is definitely a Gentile woman, and there is definitely a Jewish kinsman redeemer who wants to marry her. And the kinsman redeemer doesn't ask her to marry him. The kinsman redeemer, all he does is do what? He shows her kindness. He makes sure she has enough to eat. He makes sure that she gets some of the good stuff and she's being treated well, okay? And because of the love he was showing her, she goes and takes his tallit and covers herself asking for marriage. So we have to come to Christ. Yeah. He shows us love, but each one of us as human beings have to come to him.
Yeah.
He's just showing you there's a better life than what you have. Let me show you some love. This is what it's all. And then we eventually have to come to him, pull his tallit over us, and then now we can ask for marriage. You understand? So then now he's ready to marry Ruth, but he has to wait. What is he waiting for? He's the Lord of the harvest. He's the kinsman redeemer, but he's also harvesting the field. So he has to finish. He's finished the barley harvest. So it says, now after they confirmed that they're going to get married, it says she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz and gleaned until the end of the barley harvest and of the wheat harvest, and she dwelt with her mother-in-law. So until the wheat harvest was finished, she was still living with her mother-in-law. But when the wheat harvest was over, then they were free to get married. And then at the end of the wheat harvest, they got married, okay? So everything is showing you the summer and how important it is and how important it is to who? The harvester of the wheat who says he has his winnowing fork and he's going to bring his harvest into the barn. Okay, let's go to the book of Judges, chapter 15, 1 through 5. You can still be on your notes if you like. And it says, but it came to pass within a while, in the time of the wheat harvest, that Samson visited his wife with a kid. So he brought a gift for the father. And he said, I will go in to my wife into the chamber. But her father would not suffer him to go in. And her father said, I verily thought that thou had utterly hated her. Therefore, I gave her to thy companion. Is not her younger sister fairer than she? Take her, I pray thee, instead of her. So that means he was going to marry the older daughter, right? That's the daughter he was getting ready to marry. But the father of that daughter gives her away. When he goes away, he gives her away out of spite. Now, of course, Samson gets mad and he sets fire to the tail and he burns up the whole field. But he was supposed to marry the older. Now, is Leah the older or was Rachel the older? Leah. So he was going to marry, he was going to go in the course of prophecy, marrying the older daughter. But when did he come to the father to marry and to go in with his bride? It says here, but it came to pass within a while after the time of the wheat harvest that Samson visited with his wife and brought a kid, okay? So he came into the field at the summertime to gain his wife, okay? So here we have another wedding. So that's Ruth's wedding, and you got Samson's potential wedding, and both of them are when? In the summertime. What is the emphasis on keep talking about the summertime and the marriages that happen at the wheat harvest in the summertime, okay? And why would Jesus say, know that summer is near? What was the question? Tell us about the end times and what's going to happen. Well, when you see the fig tree, when it's early fruit, and then when it blooms, it says, now, know then, when you see the fig tree, that summer is near, okay? Because that harvest is coming. Okay. The time of the harvest and wheat, not spring. So the time of the wheat harvest is summer, not spring, okay? Now, let's go to the next page. That was Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 20. That's Israel talking and saying and talking with God. It's a message by the Jews and not the church. Someone asked me about that, so I want to clear that up. It says the harvest is past and summer is ended and we are not saved. That's Israel speaking to God, saying that we are still not. And Israel will say exactly that when the rapture happens. They'll say, summer is past and we're not saved. The Messiah is not here. But the Messiah has already come and the Messiah is already gone. You understand? So, in Matthew chapter 24, verse 34, it says, assuredly, I say to you, this generation will not pass until all these things take place. Okay? So, all these things take place. In the book of Matthew, as he's going over the end time prophecies and he's talking to the apostles, he's telling them everything that's going to happen until when? Until he comes back on a cloud. Until he comes back. Because they're asking him about the end. They didn't ask him about the rapture. He threw that in there. They asked him about the end and he answered their question. And the end of their question, then you will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud, okay? And he will gather his elect. Elect are the Jewish people. He will gather his elect. And so the end, when he comes on a cloud, is the very end of the prophecy. And that very end of the prophecy is the end of the fig tree generation. And so Christ's second return is the end of the fig tree generation. So it gives us clarity because Jesus and the Word of God tells us that a generation is 70 to 80 years. Everybody who's anybody knows when Israel was rebirthed back into the land. unless you're on YouTube. Then it was like, well, it could have been 1949 because they didn't have a real government until 49. And it could have been 50 because, so like, don't play, go to your Bible, okay? 1948, Israel became a nation.
Yeah.
1948, in Psalms chapter 48, verse 13, it says, go and tell it to the Lador HaAcharon, right? It says to the last or the terminal generation in 1948. So we know from where we're counting from. We don't have to sit around and go, I wonder when the count started. 1948, Jesus told you, Psalms 48 tells you, everyone's telling you it's starting, well, maybe I was on YouTube and they didn't get Jerusalem back to 1967. So maybe the scripture says, know that when you see this happen, what? Chapter 48, 19th book, Psalms 48. When you see what this happens, Israel back in the land, go and tell it to the Lador HaAcharon. 1948 is the final generation. Don't listen to anyone else give you another year. Everything is based on 1948. And so that count begins. We get to the 70th year in 2018 and nothing. But we understood and knew that God said, 70 years is a generation unto man, but because of their arrogance, Israel's arrogance and their pride, it will be 80, but it'll pass fast, it'll pass quickly, and he says, and then they'll fly away, okay? So, it's like Jesus has given us the simplistic story of what's going on, and we're trying to make it difficult by adding calculus and double algebra, right? It's a simple story. Israel will be rebirthed in 1948. After they rebirth, that you will be in the last generation. The last generation will last 80 years until 80 years will be the time that Jesus is actually coming back to the earth. But let me tell you another story about the fig tree. When you see the fig tree form, he says, now, he says, two will be in one place, one will be left, one will be taken, and the other one left. So he starts telling you about a scenario before he comes back that two people will be in the field, one will be taken, and the other one left. Okay? So he's saying, be ready, watch. This is really simple, huh? Be ready, watch, because you do not know that what time the Lord is going to come. Wait a minute, that's not him coming to the earth. He's saying two will be in the field, one will be taken and one will be left. So he's not coming back, he's taking somebody with him. So it's very simple, and I'm trying to explain to you, the most simple part is, in my prayer, God says, I'm just gonna have to show him. Because the most simple part is, I gave you a scripture in the year of 2021, which 5782 begins in 2021 of Rosh Hashanah, and it goes to Rosh Hashanah of 2022. And so I gave you the year that this is going to happen. And I'm telling you, here, we'll get to this. Let's look at this now, okay? So here, summer solstice 2022. That was Tuesday the 21st of June, okay? So we're past it, right? So we're in the summer season. We're in the harvest season. You guys know that?
Yeah.
We're now in the we're in the wheat season right now, okay? Now, we know this. There are 15 songs of ascent. Only one says lema alot, which is the verb to actually make it an action and ascend up, okay? And that's in Psalms 121, which in 2021, in the month of September, became 5782, okay? Which, here, let's continue. So, here we go. Okay, so here it is in Psalms 121, you'll see there, Now, the incredible thing about Psalms 121 is that the numerical gematria of it is 2220. And 2220 is the ultimate voice of God. You can even say it's the ultimate chariot ride. You can even say it's the ultimate time where he divides the water. He's going to fulfill the prophecy of dividing the water. Okay? Because look at all of these 222s. 222 is the voice of God. So you're going to see the ultimate voice of God, because in Psalms 121, it says 2220. Then you're going to, the firstborn, remember, we're being birthed out of the world. Then at the end, he's going to birth his own children. You know that scripture? Do we know that scripture?
Yeah.
Okay. So he's going to birth out the church, and then he's going to come back and he's going to birth his own children, which is the nation of Israel. So 222 also is firstborn. Okay. In Hebrew, 222, his words in Hebrew, 222, bless. Okay. 222, acquiring understanding. Okay. In the year Christ comes back, you will have acquired full understanding, because you will be face to face. Now, 222 also means the chariot. So the chariot that in Song of Songs, that the bride went up in a chariot, that is 222. The chariot that took Elijah up into heaven, that is numerical value 222. Why is God doing all this? Then 222 also says contend and strive, meaning contend for your faith, strive for your faith, because you're trying to get out of here. You understand? Then, okay, we read this one. 222 is also he divided the sea. And then the last one, and this is when the Lord spoke to me, he says, 222 in Hebrew means I will show you. So God says, I'm going to have to show them, because there's been too much talk about it. There's been a lot of noise about it. There's been a little here and a little there, and everybody's got a channel now, and all this stuff's got to shut down. So he says, I'm just going to have to show them. But I'm using you to give them the year, and I'm using you to give them the season. You're in this wheat season, and you're in the year. Nothing has changed. Okay, so now, okay, so you'll know that God adds 10 to every time he says something is the ultimate. You see what it says? The word wisdom is chacham, is 73 in Hebrew. Look what it is in Greek. It's 730. So that means God times it times 10. So wisdom is a discerner whose eyes are open. You see that? So the ultimate thing of wisdom is that you have the ability to discern because your eyes are open. So the ultimate thing, you can say, I have wisdom, but if you can't discern and your eyes are closed, then you don't really have wisdom.
Right.
You understand? But wisdom in Hebrew is 73. But God says to ultimately tell you what it is, let me add 10. Let me times it times 10. It does this so consistently throughout scripture that it's just, I mean, Pesach is Passover 148. Christ is 1480 times 10. Passover is Christ. You know, we've done that with the dove, and I have a whole list of them. You can just go through them. So God is telling you 222 is the ultimate voice of God. And it's in the year 5782, which is 22, which happens to be in the wheat harvest, which wheat is 22. Okay. Let's go to the next page. Oh, good. That's no next page. That's good. So now we're going to look at what was my chapter? Oh, we're going to look at Jeremiah chapter 24. Jeremiah chapter 24. I want to ask you guys something. Is it me or is it strange that Ruth and Samson are both talking about marriages in the summer? Is it me or is it strange that 5782 equals 22 and there's 22 chapters in the book of Revelation and the word wheat is numerical value 22? Is it me or am I losing it? I don't know. Because I'm thinking like, okay, the 22nd letter of the Hebrew alphabet is 400. The word kazar, which means harvest, is 400. Add harvest to wheat and you get 422, which is your salvation. I'm just trying to figure out, is it me? Or is somebody playing with my head? Or is it me? Understand? Because God is like, I'm trying to make this plain. I'm trying to make it really simple. Like, here's the summer. Here's Samson. He's going to marry his wife. He's looking for his bride in the summertime at the wheat harvest. I'm putting it in here for you. Oh, here's Ruth. She gets married after the barley harvest and the wheat harvest. See there? Summertime. Oh, Amos, I want to ask you something. What do you see? I see summer fruit. Good, because the same word for summer fruit means the end, and the ketz, the end is upon my people. Their time has run out. So God is like emphasizing, and then you finally get to Jesus and he goes, when you see fig tree happen, know that summer is near. So somebody's either playing with our feelings and playing with this game with us, or God is trying to make things simple, okay? Amen. All right, you in Jeremiah chapter 24? Hallelujah. We want to read through this because I want you to know and understand what this is, what is going on here, okay? Jeremiah chapter 24. Here's God doing this again. Then the Lord said to me, to Jeremiah, what do you see, Jeremiah? Figs. I answered, the good ones are very good, but the poor ones are so bad they cannot be eaten. Then the word of the Lord came to me. This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Like these good figs, I regard as good the exiles from Judah. Are those the Jewish people? So he's calling the Jewish people figs. Whom I sent away from this place to the land of Babylon. My eyes will watch over them for their good, and I will bring them back to this land, and I will build them up and not tear them down. I will plant them and not uproot them. I will give them a heart to know me, that I am the Lord, and they will be my people, and I will be their God. For they will return to me with their whole hearts. See that? Have they returned to God with their whole hearts yet? Not yet. So God's like, this is still yet future, but they're coming back to the land. He says, but like the poor figs, which are so bad they cannot be eaten, says the Lord, so I will deal with Zedekiah, the king of Judah, his officials, and the survivors from Jerusalem. Because Zedekiah was the last one to be able to live in Jerusalem, but 19 years later, they came back and took Jerusalem. So he's still talking about the figs, and he said, I took Israel, then I took Jerusalem. Okay? And it says, and the survivors from Jerusalem, whether they remain in this land or live in Egypt, I will make them abhorrent and offense to all the kingdoms of the earth, a reproach and a byword, an object of ridicule and cursing. Wherever I ban them, I will send the sword of famine and plague against them until they are destroyed from the land I gave to them and their fathers. So he's emphasizing to you, I'm talking about Israel. These are the figs that I'm talking about. The figs I'm talking about is Israel, and they will be kicked out of the land, but in the end, I'm gonna bring them back to the land, okay? Then he says, even Zedekiah, who was in Jerusalem, because they took Judah first, then they came back 19 years later and took Jerusalem. So that's 1948, Then 1967 is what? 19 years later. He's telling you who he's talking about. So the figs are Israel. And the fig tree is rebirthed when? 1948. Okay? So we don't have to sit around here wondering and guessing. This is what the Lord told me today. You believing my word doesn't matter. You understand? Like, everything I wrote is going to happen. You don't have to be in agreement with it, okay? And that's more accurate what the Lord was sending me. Uh-huh. You don't have to be in agreement with what I'm telling you. You don't have to. Nobody had to believe that 666 was coming and digital currency was coming. Right. The Bible already told you it was coming. I don't care if you said a billion times, there will never be a digital currency where you have to put a chip in your hand and a chip in your forehead to buy or purchase anything. That's impossible. It'll never happen. The Bible is not telling the truth. God says it's okay, because I don't need you to believe for it to happen. Okay? He did not need people to believe that Israel was going to become a nation again. It was just in the Bible. You understand? So I want you guys to know and understand. The Lord has told me today in prayer, it does not matter that you don't believe in the rapture. It won't stop it from happening. You understand? It won't stop it from happening. And it won't stop it from happening at the appointed time that God has set for it.
That's right.
So if you think that 2020 was just a waste of prophecy in God's time, it was the beginning of a setup.
Yes.
Okay? So 2021 came. Those were the beginnings of a setup. 2022 is the end of it. Three is always one. And now you're about to see what it set up for is the ultimate voice of God. So we can take the ultimate chariot ride, which is 222.
Yes. Amen.
How much time I got, Pastor Ben?
5 minutes.
Wow, Pastor Ben's being generous today. Okay. What's that? Okay. So, if you were here like in the beginning and you see the how God has led this whole thing. Like, you have to learn this, then I'm gonna teach you this, then I put the step in front of you, then you can get here, then I'm gonna do this. But know that you have to start here first, you know? And if you guys, I wish everybody was with me and they studied with me as we went through this, okay? Because when we finally got to dividing the waters in 117, God was like, now we're almost there. Okay? Because we were not there yet, but he's like, this is the final clue that's going to tell you exactly where we're going. Okay? Because I'm going to come down and I'm going to bring you up. That's where I wanted to go to. John chapter 14. I love this. Now watch this. Just the first verse. Let's start in the first verse. Because it says, here, this is Jesus talking. And he says, do not let your heart be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. He says, I'm going there, but I'm coming back to take you to be with me there. Okay? So if there's just a second return, which is what they're trying, what all of these Southern Baptists, Freemason pastors are trying to do, they're all trying to get you ready for the second coming, for the arrival of the Messiah. Okay? Now I'm trying to thank God, one of our members. Thank you so much. God bless you for listening. There are a lot of people out there who are preaching the return of Donald Trump and the destruction of the Bidens and the banking system. They're teaching this, right? Because it's what itching ears want to hear. So they're prophesying. The one with the black hair and all, he wears the black leather coat and the black pants, and
Morpheus?
He has long hair. He's not beautifully bald like me and Morpheus. But he goes around and he's preaching about when the evil God has said he's going to destroy all of the evil people that are doing all these, and God is going to destroy China, and God is going to, and nobody's going to lay a hand on America. And really? So, man, I was like, if I was into that, those would be my favorite pastors right now. Yeah. Because I want to save America, I want to destroy the evil people, and I want good old good haired Donald to come back, right? So all of this is what they're going to feed you, and what they're doing is they're tickling your ear because they know this is what they want to hear, and they're making tons of dough off of it. Lots of money off of it, okay? And then all of them, guess what? The one with all the black, he's being interviewed, and he says, well, first of all, I want to say that Kenneth Copeland is a prophet to the nations. So I'm like, ta-da!
There you go.
Right? I'm like, nobody in their right mind would say that.
He's crazy.
So I'm trying to get people to understand the word. Get back to the Bible. Because the Bible is telling you, get ready to leave.
Yeah.
And the false prophets are telling you, oh, they're going to destroy the evil and reset the economy. And Trump is coming back. And they got an audience. Wow. Understand? They got people give them hundreds of thousands of dollars to hear that Trump is coming back and America's going to get saved. Okay? And that's not the case. The Lord told me America will be the worst place to be after the rapture. You understand? It will be the worst. There's more demons here than anywhere else in the world. And if you're in California, you got twice as much as every other state. Okay? So you're in a bad place to be after the rapture. Okay?
Right.
And if Donald Trump comes back, I'll tell you what. That means he was a part of the whole thing. If he comes back as some Messiah guy, he was a part of the whole thing. And you can expect what you're going to get from him is a falsehood. You understand? I would rather him not come back and say, well, at least he was a guy that came and tried to do the right thing. Okay? But he ain't coming back. But Jesus is. Okay? So praise God. We have an important study tomorrow. And I can't wait for tomorrow to get to it. Quite a bit of Hebrew, and so we'll get into that tomorrow, and we will have a good time. Praise God.
Who's
gonna pray you out? My buddy, because he loves to pray me out. He's on fire. Come up here, let me see.
Pastor Sandy, one of our members said Trump over the years has been bankrupt by the Rothschilds a couple of times.
And they always rescue him.
There must be some club they're part of.
I'm done with that. Like I said, let's go. Let's pray out.
Oh Lord, Heavenly Father, we're so blessed. We're so encouraged. It's such a blessing to be on the right track.
Amen.
And be taught by you.
Yes,
Lord. May you continuously encourage each and everyone that's listening online, and to be ready with a repentant heart, and to be watching for your soon return. praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Huh?
What time tomorrow?
11 o'clock tomorrow, we will be on time.
Amen.
All right. Rashawn Messianic Bible College.
Amen.
Bible Club.
Really close to it.
Yeah.